What happened?
I apologize. My internet went out and I was trying to, I think I hit the wrong button to get it back on. I apologize. Let's see if we can get everybody back in here. I'm so sorry, Jen. Hope everybody gets back here. I apologize.
No worries.
Hello?
Hi, I apologize. My internet went out and I was trying to do something.
Okay.
Let's see if our committee members are back. I apologize.
Technology is great when it works. And otherwise, we live with the results. So okay. I apologize for taking things out of order, but I would like to ask Jen to speak briefly and answer any questions the committee may have.
Sure. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Good evening, legislators. I want to, first of all, thank the chair and all of you for considering this letter of support. We're at a very important point in the process of implementing the state's climate law, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which was passed in 2019. And that law tasked a climate action council created and tasked it with drafting a scoping plan which is basically a blueprint for meeting the emissions reduction and equity goals of the plan, of the law. And that draft plan has been open for public comment since January 1st. The public comment runs through June 10th. And, you know, I think it's just very important for our communities, our counties to weigh in to this process. I worked on that law when I was in the state Senate, and I'm proud to come from a county that has taken, you know, such important actions locally to address climate change and shift to a clean energy economy. And this letter shows support in line with the county's important leadership over the years. So I'm happy to answer any questions or try to, if anyone has any.
All right, it doesn't appear that anyone has any questions. I would like to suggest that we do both, that those, because of the time constraint, and we're all, the last discussion had a time constraint, and we'll come back to that. But any legislator who supports this, sign it in time so that it can be mailed and received, or emailed and received by June 10th, which is the close of formal public comment on the draft scoping plan. But I would like us in June to consider a full memorializing resolution that would be voted on by the legislature, but it would be after the deadline for public comment. So that's my suggestion. If anyone wants to speak to that, if not, we'll go back to the other conversation. Earlier conversation. Yes, please go ahead, Legislator Henson.
First, thank you. And I did see a number of legislators already put in for their signature to be on this one. So I'm in support of it, obviously. And I don't know if you want to do the other one now too, since we're on this, and then we can go back and just finish that up. I did see again, like in the emails, that a lot of legislators have already signed on for these. With help, I put one together for our river and the New York, New Jersey Watershed Protection Act. As we all know that the river is right here in our backyard and the importance of it, and that this act would provide grants to us from New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. So I just thought, since we're on the one, we might as well do both. Hopefully everyone is in support of those.
Right. And I don't believe we have to take any action on the letter. And let's see. The memorializing resolution has to go through a process. So we can submit the resolution in June, and then submit it. It's too late for a late resolution for May. So it would be an on-time resolution for June, and we would act on it in June, and it would be after the deadline, but it would still represent the will of Ulster County. So I think we're good on this, and we can go back to the discussion that I interrupted, but I think Jen had another appointment and needed to be available for this discussion.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you all, and I apologize for this interruption. I really do. have a great evening.
All right, now as we go back to resolution number 167 regarding the negative declaration for the demolition of the jail at Golden Hill, I mentioned earlier, first of all, I do want to say that from my opinion, there were a lot of very good points raised. I would like a lot of those questions to be answered. And I'm also concerned that we may not, quite frankly, have the votes to pass this tonight. If it passes at all, but Deputy Ryder said it was time sensitive, and I think that kind of puts us in a dilemma. So yes.
And it's time sensitive for the developer, and it might not be, if we had an open and honest conversation, maybe it's okay if we hold this up. I mean, we can't be, as legislators and the other branch of government here, we got to do our job, and we can't hear that, oh, we have to forget all these questions, all these conflicts, and just move on because the developer may lose some money or not get the interest rates they want. This may have to do with interest rates. So it's, and we haven't even gotten to all the questions I wanted to answer. I really appreciate you. And I know Phil has also said that he has a lot of the same issues and questions. And I appreciate what you just said, that you had issues. We haven't even gotten to green space, the pilot talk that seems inappropriate. So what, and we work for the people, not the developer. So I just don't want to be pushed by the executive's branch of government to fall in line and forget all these questions, forget about the community, forget about the environment, forget about the traffic, forget about the fact that every major number that we're getting is from a developer that should not have been giving us those numbers. And now let's move on, because it might hurt said developer, get a better interest rate. I could care less.
If I may, my concern was in losing grant funding. That's what I meant by time sensitive. I would like to
for the developer.
No, and it's not, if I could.
Yeah, please.
There are applications for state and federal funds that are due in June, and they need to show that they've gotten the approvals. It's why we put this in last month, knowing that it could be postponed a month. Dennis and I will sit here all night and answer any question that's raised. And the answers that we have today will be the same answers that we would give you next month, because we've already done the legwork. And if this fails the committee, I'll ask for a petition to discharge and I'll get it on the floor this month. And so I would rather there be a straight up vote. If people support this project, I would ask them overall, regardless, I would ask them to vote against postponement tonight and to support moving forward, whether it fails. It will not probably be a project if they do not get funding that is due applications in June. We may have a developer that walks away. And I doubt, given the last 18 months, that we'll find another developer. I was talking to these folks today. They had looked forward to working on many affordable housing projects in and around Kingston and Ulster County. And because of the process where essentially a handful of neighbors have been able to stop things at various levels, this is something they've never seen anywhere else, that they probably are not interested in doing future projects here. And that's unfortunate.
I have to respond to that. I just have to respond to that. He's talked. Mark Ryder's been allowed to talk more than me this meeting, and I'm a legislator. He's now blaming the community that has valid points. He's already threatened that we're going to hurt the developer. Well, if that doesn't work, he's now threatened us that he's just going to go over our heads. It doesn't matter what we do in this committee anyway. He's going to get a petition to discharge, and he's confident he's going to get everybody else to agree with it on the floor. Well, thank you very much. Let our committee do its job. Once again, this developer that we're so scared of losing has gotten the sweetest deal I've ever seen. Maybe not. I've seen some other pretty sweet deals over the past 10 years for developers in this county. But back to it again. They did the appraisal. Okay, they appraised it low, and then I hear, but don't worry, if it's a low appraisal, we're going to work with them and find a company to do another appraisal, and we'll agree on that, as if it's not going to match up with the appraisal you already have. We have some of the same questions coming out of Tech City right now. None of this makes any sense, and the developer has been allowed to do everything, every study, every part of the negotiation. And now, because of a couple of neighbors are upset about a couple of things, they're telling you, we may not want to do business here anymore. Well, my God, maybe I don't want to do business with that developer anymore. And maybe we should start from scratch. Maybe we should go out for a big RFQ, an open, transparent RFQ, and have other developers come in. If we end up costing this, and Mark's probably right, they probably will go and lean. And I've already heard about a legislator this term vote on the damn gas tax in a way he didn't want to because he was worried about losing funding for something else from the executive. So we're already playing these games again, the same games the last administration played, and it gets old. How about an open, honest, transparent process where the people win, not the developer? So I'm sorry, Mark, I reject everything you just said. And I resent it. And I resent you telling these people on this meeting that have legitimate concerns that I've been there for. I think our committee should go and all of us go down there and talk to these people like me and Phil have, and like Ilana has, because they do have real concerns. And then as a legislator, I have real concerns about the funding of this and all these conflicts. We haven't even gotten to some of the conflicts, but obviously there's conflicts when the developer is allowed to give all these reports, come up with. Can you imagine selling your home and having someone come to you and telling you what your home is worth and starting the negotiation that way? It's just, this is unacceptable. And I'm sorry if this is the first committee that has exposed some of this. And I do think we've exposed some of this. I think a lot of the other legislators here are going to be surprised at some of these things about what we're finding out about the developer. I know for a fact there's a couple of legislators I've talked to that are going to be surprised. I asked them, I was talking to some of them the other day, what's it appraised at? I don't know. They must have done one. I mean, I'm sure they don't know it's appraised at $1 million by the developer. I'm sure they don't know a lot of these things. So maybe, Mark, you won't get it passed on the floor if there's enough legislators that can fight back against, the pressure.
The chair. I don't know if anybody
Anna, you're muted. Chairwoman Green, you're muted. Just a moment, Matt.
I don't recall muting myself, but I think at this point.
Chair, if I can, as a resident, I'm a little appalled at what Mr. Deputy Ryder said. We are more than a handful of residents.
I did not call on you. I'm going to call the question at this point.
Madam Chair, might we please hear from some residents who are.
We have.
May I continue some of my points from before, because I actually believe they will be constructive that could help us get to some, or never mind.
In calling the question, I expect that what I would like is for Legislator Lerner and Legislator Maloney to put their comments and questions in writing and submit them, and ask that before, if this does go through a petition to discharge, that we get the answers to those questions. But we could spend all night going back and forth, and I don't think we're making any progress. So
point of order.
Yes.
I would like to move to postpone, but I'd like to understand if we postpone, can it then be overridden and get petitioned to discharge and go to the floor, or only if we vote no?
If you do a vote to postpone and the vote is 2-2, and it would fail. Just a FYI, if you call the question and vote on it straight up, and the vote goes 2-2, it fails.
And in that case, there could be a petition to discharge.
Yes, ma'am.
But the postponement wouldn't give that opportunity to go straight to the floor yet.
Correct.
If the postponement should pass, it would not go straight to the floor.
I see.
And
are you making a motion to postpone?
I would like to. I move that we postpone.
Okay. I'll make a second, and I really hope, you know, it's the last little bit of leverage we have after a lot of new information. I really hope we postpone and give ourselves a month of leverage for the community, for the environment, and for the tax dollar.
I don't want to speak out of order, excuse me, but I do want to speak before we move on.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So we've heard from a lot of people in the government, and we've heard from a few people in the community, not in the government, who are here to depending on us to do right by all the people. And like I said, our in this committee, we're supposed to talk about the environmental issues. I haven't even gotten to my questions about those. But just to summarize what those would be, the community are asking us for some commitments in writing around dealing with longstanding stormwater issues. They're asking for the county to work together with the city of Kingston and with a private nursing home up there to deal with those issues as a precondition to go ahead and do more work up there. And I think that's totally reasonable. They're asking to also address longstanding traffic issues that, again, it's not just the county, but we can't say that we can't here in the county. We have to say, what can we do? Who can we work with? That's our responsibility to our people. So if it means going to the city of Kingston and Golden Hill and everybody and working it out, I understand that progress has been made to put a gate on Glen Street. And I think that needs to be guaranteed in order. And the other traffic issues have to be guaranteed before we can proceed. I understand there was another developer that's in county that had put in a proposal for this. And if that's the case, they might be ready to do it if we don't, if the current one decides that they have to pull out. But to stick more to the environmental concerns, I unfortunately, the city planner, Suzanne Cahill, couldn't join us tonight, but I'm hearing from environmental groups within the city that are asking for a deeper review of it, that they a more robust seeker, like that would require a negative deck on that side. And so there, but bottom line is we need to follow our community and not tell them what they need. The people who live in the area, immediate area, know, and they're just looking for us to work with them and not try and resist them, like it seems is what this is. They have legitimate concerns that I believe we can solve together, the county, the city, Golden Hill. And if the developer is going to continue, then they should be on the hook too for that. They should not be able to proceed without addressing that. So we do it in the proper order. And that's why I'd like to postpone. Thank you.
Okay, so you've made a motion to postpone. Do we have a second on the motion to postpone? Okay, we have a second. I just wanna ask one question before we vote, and I certainly, Legislator Hansett, if you wanna weigh in at any time, just, you know, please let me know. And that is to Deputy Ryder or Director Doyle. I wanna get clarification. What I don't wanna do by postponing is to put the county in jeopardy of losing grant funding. I do think that a lot of the questions that were raised should be answered. And I think there's an opportunity to do that before this goes to the floor. But in terms of postponing, I would like to understand what jeopardy that would put the county in. At this point, I'm not concerned about the developer, but I am concerned about what jeopardy that might put the county in, if somebody could answer that.
So, I mean, the county is not a part of any grants that we would get. I mean, the only thing, and it wouldn't have anything to do with postponing a month, is that we have to use the ARPA funds in a certain amount of time, as Legislator Maloney said, but that wouldn't be relevant here. The funding that I'm talking about is the funding that makes affordable projects possible, HHAP and other state funding sources that only open up at certain times of the year, and it would likely delay this project a year. Bringing in a new developer would likely delay this project 2 to 3 years, and we're in the middle of a housing crisis. We've answered the neighbors' questions. I've told Legislator Erner that we will do a study, and I can commit to it in this public meeting, that we will do a study to figure out the stormwater runoff problem that has nothing to do with this project, that has been there for 2 decades. I'm willing to work with the city and Legislator Erner and the legislature to do a study and figure out what needs to happen to improve their situation. And you have my word on that. And we will move forward with that regardless of what happens tonight. We will do a study on the stormwater. On the traffic, it's likely that the city is going to require a light. We're also working with the nursing home company to figure out a way to put up a gate to stop traffic. This project will not use Glen Street. We have a commitment from the developer that Glen Street will not be used. And it looks like we're gonna have a requirement of a light. So this is what I'm saying. These questions have been answered. They've been answered in front of the city planning board. And you know, that's all I have to say.
Well, I think some other questions were raised and I'd like to get them in writing, like to see them, for example, before the caucus. But I think at this point, your hand is still up. Legislator Lerner, I will take that last comment and then let's go ahead and vote on the motion to postpone.
Through to the chair, to Deputy Ryder, or anyone else who knows, these funding sources, are they only available to a private developer or this particular private developer, or is it something that we as a county could ourselves obtain as well?
They're tax credits, and the county does not pay state or federal taxes. So they are only available to a private developer. They're not only available to this developer, but they are hard to get. And like I said, there's been 18 months of due diligence here. Another developer can't just come in and take and pick up where this one leaves off. And the quality of the units and the presentation is why this developer was selected.
I think what Phil was wondering, so we wouldn't need the tax, they're getting tax credits. The government doesn't pay tax. I think Phil was wondering about if the county decided to do something themselves, would they be eligible to get these funds? They wouldn't need them. We don't pay taxes. I was told, I talked to Dave Donaldson at length about why this developer was chosen. And he said they admitted a lot of wrongdoing in past projects. And that's something you don't hear a lot of developers do. And it surprised everybody that they were willing to admit, yeah, we screwed up on that one. And they liked the openness of mistakes. That was Dave Donaldson. And he was on the Housing Corp, I believe. But I didn't hear anything all that impressive about the group, to be honest with you. But we could maybe bring Dave in and have him talk.
All right. At this point, I would like to call the question. And on the floor is a motion to postpone resolution number 167. Man, if there was ever a time I would like to be able to, what's it called when you excuse yourself from voting? Abstain, yeah. But let's see. All in favor of the motion to postpone?
Aye.
All right, the motion, two people, legislator Erner and legislator Maloney, anyone opposed to the motion to postpone? So myself and legislator Hansen.
So the motion fails.
The motion fails. So at this point, I would like to, if we're not postponing, then we need to vote on the...
You have a motion on the floor.
Floor to, for the resolution, for the neg deck on the Golden Hill project. And so we'll call the question on that. On resolution number 67, as written, all in favor.
Manna, if I just could just point out the fact that I would just ask you, I know the reason it seems that we didn't postpone was to give, because that takes away the ability for a petition to discharge. But I do think that this should go forward with a petition to discharge. I think our colleagues should have a healthy amount of skepticism and questions to be answered. So I do think it would be better to go forward rather than have five committees said, yes, let's vote this down. They'll put the petition to discharge up and at least it'll have that as, hey, this does need some discussion. It didn't pass every committee and there are questions to be answered. So I would ask for a consideration for a no vote and let them do a petition to discharge. And that is why I think you chose not to postpone.
Okay, so on the resolution, all in favor of adopting the neg deck for the demolition at Golden Hill and the rest of that project, please indicate by raising your hand and or saying aye. All opposed?
No.
Okay, and so the vote was 2-2, and that means that it fails in committee and will require a petition to discharge.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I really would like to see the answers to the important questions that were raised by the community and by our colleagues. I personally have concerns, and it would be very helpful to see those answers before we have to vote on the floor, and I would ask that be before caucus.
If I could get the questions as soon as possible, we can get you answers. I mean, next week is caucus, and the following week is the floor. So we're happy to answer every single question. We would have answered any question tonight, and you know we're willing to be here. So any questions you have, we'll provide.
All right. Mindful of the time and the rest of our agenda. And I do want to just say that, Joe, I'll talk to you offline, but I do think you have had a chance to speak more than anybody else on the call at the meeting tonight, but let's talk about that offline. So resolution number 252, authorizing Ulster County Legislature to exercise a cooperative agreement with New York State Department of Conservation for the implementation of environmental benefit projects on the Lower East Elpis as provided for in the DEC Order of Consent Department of Planning. Do I hear a motion to consider this?
I'll make a motion.
All right.
Second.
And that was Legislator Hansen moved and Legislator Erner second. Any discussion on this motion, this resolution? All right, I think at this point we can call the question. All in favor of resolution number 252, please indicate by raising your hand and or saying aye.
Aye.
Joe left us.
What's that?
And I don't see Joe Maloney, so he left, okay.
All right, we still have a quorum.
We still do, and this passed 3-0.
Okay, motion carries 3-0.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, resolution number 253, appointing member to the Recycling Oversight Committee, and that is because Margot Becker was appointed to the board of the RRA, so she can no longer serve as the representative of the Environmental Management Council. But I don't believe there was a name included in the resolution. Go ahead, Legislator Erner.
Yeah, I spoke to Legislator Petit. And she asked that we postpone this so that she can go back to the council and determine who they want to have.
Well, you could take no action, so you don't have to postpone it.
Okay.
Thank you. Request of the sponsor will take no action tonight.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And I would prefer to vote with the name. So if anybody has any other concerns, let me know. And if not, oh my goodness, I complained about how long the agenda is, but looks like we did get through it. New business, we talked about both memorializing resolutions. And then there's an item, indoor air quality. Who had requested to speak on that?
Legislator Erner had a concern about air quality.
Yeah, thank you. And just, I don't know what the right thing is. I have just a Joe, Legislator Maloney said he accidentally dropped off. I guess he's trying to get back on.
Great, let him back in.
Okay. we have a problem with indoor air quality that we need to address, as we also need to address things like insulating our homes better and other measures we need to provide energy efficiency and reduce emissions. A case study was done here in the city of Kingston on some rental housing, and it was actually initiated to try and understand why someone's electric and heating bills were so high, and it turned into a discovery of the unhealthful, if not downright hazardous, condition in this person's dwelling. And I believe I've sent the committee this report that this consultant had done along with the resident. But just to say, we actually have quite a serious issue here, it seems to me, in the city of Kingston, as well as Greater Ulster County, around the quality of the air that our residents are breathing in their homes. And we're going to need to work with whoever we need to work with to solve that, while simultaneously working on things like insulation. The indoor air situation seems to have the biggest impact on renters and lower income folks who have less that they themselves are able to do with their own apartments, because they need to work with their landlord on it. So we'll need to do that too. But I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the committee. I have a phone call. There's a group. It's called something, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact name, like the Hudson Valley Indoor Air Quality Group, that I'm meeting with for the first time tomorrow to learn more. And we'll happily report back. If anyone else is interested to connect with them, let me know and I will work to connect you.
I'd love to be connected, Legislator Erner.
Okay, you got it, Deputy Executive Ryder.
And I have brought this up in particular in reference to the ARPA project that I would like to ask Director Doyle if he wants to let us know the status of a project for building retrofits for low and moderate income. And that also brings up, in addition to making sure the retrofit is done in a way that ensures clean air for the because if you're sealing up a building, you want to be sure it doesn't have mold or mildew or other harmful materials in the building that people might be breathing. But one other question with regard to that ARPA proposal, and I'll just put it on the table and then hear your response. Many low and moderate income households are tenants, and you know, figuring out how to ensure that the building retrofits get done in a way that the tenants themselves are benefiting, and that it is not just to the benefit of the landlord. Certainly in terms of comfort and in terms of lower bills, if they pay their own bills, that the tenants would benefit. But it gets tricky when it's not a lower moderate income household. So I don't know if you've considered that, but if you wouldn't mind giving us a quick update on that proposed ARPA project.
Thank you, Chairman Green. We were the recipients of a $800,000 housing rehab grant. There was a home ownership grant for housing rehab. And we've done a few of these in the past, and the thought in this grant was to combine that with money from the county to do a deeper dive on these low and moderate income homeowners to do energy retrofits. And so we started a conversation with Citizens for Local Power, the idea of essentially they have a number of internship programs they work with. They work with a number of contractors, but they don't have a lot of capacity. So the thought was is that we could help them build capacity with some money and take the rest of that money and put it in actual retrofits, deep energy retrofits, using the contractors that they work. So they would provide the interns work for the contractors. We would work through an existing rehab, our existing rehab program to qualify those contractors to do the deep energy retrofits and combine what we have to do in these houses to do what we call code compliance if works. And that can be from anything from ADA ramps to new roofs to septic systems to wells to changes in bathrooms, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes it's actually mold remediation that occurs as well. And we combine that and come out with essentially what I think is a pilot program that then would be repeatable over the years, working with the organizations that we're currently working with. I would say that working with landlords is a little bit more difficult, especially if you use federal money, because we have to then find a place if you're doing a lot of work in the unit, you have to find a place for the person that's living in that unit to live. So you have to pay relocation costs and you have to find a place for that to happen. So sometimes that's difficult. We've had discussions in the past about doing what they call landlord rehabilitation efforts. And then what that would end up doing is that what you want to try to do is make sure that if you're going to do that, that the apartment remains available to low and moderate income individuals. Not that you essentially rehab the apartment and then the landlord ends up throwing the person out and renting it for a higher amount of money. So that's the kind of thing that we're working at that would probably come up as part of the next community development block grant work that we do. I would also say that the consolidated funding applications are out. There's not a lot of money for housing in the consolidated funding applications, but we're looking into that with our ARPA team to see what is out there and what we can do with respect to housing.
And in addition to consolidated funding, there may be infrastructure, or is that the same funding?
It's a different funding source. The Infrastructure and Investment and Jobs Act bill is different, and it's not the consolidated funding application is New York State and federal money, but it's released from New York State. The funding is controlled by the state of New York.
And I believe NYSERDA has worked through and has a recommendation about the landlord program. And I was going to ask Susan Gillespie to look into that, but I've been given information that they actually have a program.
Not familiar with it. We'll take a look at it. I'm not familiar. Okay. One of the things we will do is make sure that we do energy audits on these houses and take advantage of the NYSERDA credits that are available so that when we do this, we make the money stretch further.
And I think it really is potentially a wonderful pilot program, because we need, I forget how many hundreds of thousands of buildings to be retrofitted and electrified to meet the goals of CLCPA.
The governor's budget basically indicates that they're going to try to fund at least 20,000 houses in energy retrofits.
And so starting this pilot that combines the benefits of energy retrofits and ensures that it's done in a way that promotes healthy indoor air quality and is a training program really creates a wonderful model, because we're going to need lots and lots of training programs and lots of building retrofits to meet these goals. And as somebody who is fortunate enough to be living in a house, I've said this before, with a Deep Energy retrofit, where my bills were reduced significantly, way more than half. And I got through the whole winter with two small space heaters, even after leaving during the day, shutting them off, coming back to a still comfortable house. It's really a very worthwhile investment on many fronts. Can that move forward to ARPA before we use up all the ARPA funds?
We're working through the administration to provide a resolution for the June meeting.
Yay, excellent. All right, I know we didn't, and I'm sorry that Joe left the call or was accidentally disconnected. And I don't want to underestimate the questions and concerns that people have raised. I think they're all important and valuable. And what's most important is that we're all listening to each other. Before I ask for a motion to, well, there might be something else. Indoor Air Climate Smart. I want to say the Climate Smart Committee is an extremely valuable place for information to be exchanged. I don't have an immediate report for anything new, but there have been some really good suggestions that I will be bringing to the Climate Smart Committee. But what I want to say is I've been doing some climate science education for lay people and climate activists and so forth, given how extremely disturbing the news is about both poles are melting. The Arctic is 30 degrees centigrade warmer than its historic average in winter. And the Antarctic is 40 degrees warmer than its historic average in summer. And very large pieces of the ice shelf are breaking off. And it's just, I have a list that I will send to Fawn along with, I think I promised I would send around the PowerPoint on solid waste. And this is a list of I think it's 13 headlines, mainly since November, of forest fires in Siberia, which is supposed to be a cold place. And, so many other really devastating and very recent. Up until November, I thought that if we implement all the climate solutions proposed in Drawdown and by other climate leaders and climate scientists, that there was a chance that things would be all right. But I am more concerned than ever when I see these headlines. So I'll just send that around. And it's why I think it's so critical. I know I sound a little bit like a broken record, but it's not the same as it was. It's so much worse than what was predicted. Before we close, I do. Alona's hand is still up, and I see legislator Erner, and then I'm going to ask for a motion. Alona, did you want to say something in closing?
It would be very brief. It was one thing. Somebody mentioned that the runoff is because we're in the Catskill Mountains. Well, when I stood on Golden Hill, I appeared to be the highest person in the neighborhood standing on the top of Golden Hill. There did not appear to be any other path for runoff. And I followed the path, because it's like a dome. So the water really does run down the side of Golden Hill, the jail. It just runs down the side. And I followed the path of the water, and it goes across a road, and basically it goes down into the poor people on Glen Street. That's where it goes. So I do think that whatever is going to happen to the jail on Golden Hill is going to impact absolutely the people. So I don't think that these are separate issues the way it was described. And then the other thing I wanted to say is we've seen with some projects when they're handled piecemeal, one step, one resolution, one step for the developers, then, you know, at the next step, they pull another rabbit out of the hat and there the people are left holding the bag. So I think it would be really nice if a more comprehensive plan was addressed early on so the people could really know exactly what we're going to be paying for, what we're going to be getting in return, how much the developer is going to be making, and who's, you know, which people are going to benefit. That's something that we really don't get to see very often. And rather than just, you know, push this resolution through and then we'll deal with the next one, that's a pattern. That's why people don't trust government. So that's pretty much it. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And please put those questions in writing. And both Legislator Erner and Maloney are going to put their questions and anyone else who has questions, and we will get those answers. I do want to reiterate that Deputy Ryder said that there would be essentially a stormwater management study done, and our Department of Environment has for many years modeled green stormwater management, I think right on their own property and other pilot projects, and has a great deal of knowledge. So I think we can address each of the concerns, and I don't want to dismiss any of them, but I also, we'll see what the legislature decides moving forward. And Legislator Erner, you have, I think you might, I'm gonna defer to Legislator Hansett because she hasn't spoken as much, and then you can have the last word.
I just wanted to just reach out to Legislator Erner and Maloney. You have spoke about times you've met with different people and so forth. Please feel free to reach out to me. Even though I am at the other end of the county, these are still all county residents. And if I can attend any of those things, I would love to. So feel free to reach out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And thanks for bringing that letter to us this month.
Happy to do it.
And your hand is still raised. Were there other points you wanted to make, Legislator Erner? Oh, you took your
just
hand.
Yes, to since our last item was on the climate smart, and I received several communications this month about the new Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Mitigation of Climate Change summary for policymakers. And while I've not yet reviewed that, I did write back to those who wrote me and asked them for specific mitigation strategies. And Madam Chair, I think you saw some of that, trying to set up some meetings with some of these county residents here. And but I'll just say, like, the impacts are hitting us here too. And I mean, and whether a particular ice storm, for example, that we all had to deal with is because of that or not, the fact is, like, the systems that we have need to be more resilient so that we're not cold in the winter as we also decarbonize. I understand, and it connects to our housing crisis also in a big way. Like, people, like, we have to be thinking about where we put new housing that we want to build, but not displacing people. That is an environmental impact as well. Like, keeping communities together is a part of environmental sustainability. So I'll just leave it there and look forward to further discussion on all this. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And again, my appreciation to everyone for listening to each other, because we are in a climate crisis, and I believe that it's through collaboration and working together and building consensus that if there's any chance to have viable solutions, that's where it's going to come from. I do want to say that I've reached out to Marist College and Lamont Dougherty Earth Institute.
Excuse me, Anna. I'm going to excuse myself because I'm remote at the jail and they're getting ready to lock up some doors.
Okay. You're absolutely excused. And I'll keep everyone posted on the opportunity to learn more about global climate science so we have a context for what we're going to be facing in the future. And I want to thank everyone and ask, before you go, real quick, a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Any I'll second that.
Okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to be locked in here.
All in favor, please raise your hand or signify by saying aye. Aye. And thank you all for your time and attention. And Gina, go before you get locked in.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everyone.